ABC Listen.
Hello, 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 my friends. It's Ruby here, and you are listening to News Time.
Hello, Ruby.
G'day, Ruby.
Today, we are going to help some tiny little bats rebuild their homes. We'll meet a special fish that was caught on camera and ride across Australia on horseback. We'll bring an ancient frozen worm back to life. And if none of those things make you say, wow, well, you know what's next.
Wow of the week!
Yep, the story guaranteed to make you say, wowee. But before we start the countdown, you know what else makes me say wow? The Australian women's football team, the Matildas, are through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup.
Wow!
They play tomorrow. Go Matildas!
Story number 5.
Did you know there's a species of microbat that is so teeny tiny it weighs less than a $1 coin? It's called the golden-tipped bat, and it's found in rainforests along the east coast of Australia. Unfortunately, lots of its habitat was destroyed in bushfires about 3 years ago.
I think it's bad because then the golden-tipped bats would have nowhere to live.
Yeah. These little critters like to roost in the bottom of birds' nests made from dried twigs and leaves. So, scientists and conservationists have been trying to figure out how to help restore the golden-tipped bats' homes.
By getting some old wood from the bushfires and putting it back together to make homes for the bats.
You're on the right track. The scientists asked Indigenous people from the Yarrawarra and Murbay groups for help. And they came up with the idea of using ancient Aboriginal weaving techniques to build new nests. Together with the students from Nambucca High School, they weaved nests to be hung in trees while the forests recovered from the bushfires.
They gathered sticks, leaves and twigs, and then they hung it up on string.
That's right. Ecologists have already hung 30 nests around the mid-north coast of New South Wales, and they plan to hang even more when springtime comes.
We want them to have homes to live so that they can have really cute babies.
Yeah, their babies are super cute.
Story number 4.
Not to brag, but I'm pretty good at handstands. Walking on my hands, that's trickier. But it wouldn't be tricky if I was a spotted handfish.
I think it's called a spotted handfish because it's spotted and its fins look like little hands.
Yes, you got it. The spotted handfish, red handfish and Zeebel's handfish move across the ground using their pectoral fins, and they look a bit like hands. But the Zeebel's handfish hasn't been spotted in the wild since 2007. Scientists think there might only be about 100 red handfish left. And the spotted handfish? Yeah, that's critically endangered too.
It makes me feel sad because there aren't many left in the ocean.
Me too. Conservationists have been working hard to restore their habitat by removing invasive species like sea urchins and starting breeding programs at aquariums. But French photographer Nicolas Remy had a different idea about how to spotlight this unique fish. He went out snapping them in their natural habitat, Tasmania's Derwent River.
Well, they're pretty cool animals.
They sure are. Nicholas snapped a portrait of the elusive spotted handfish, and it went on to win first place in the cold water category of the Underwater Photography Guide's Ocean Art Contest. Nicholas is hoping that his photo shines a light on this rare fish and encourages people to learn more about them.
Because if they go extinct, we can't learn any more about them because we won't be able to see them.
Exactly.
Story number 3.
What are the things that you need if you want to go horse riding? Let's see. A saddle, a bridle, and, oh, most importantly, a horse.
They're very good at carrying people and things.
That's right. Sometimes if you haven't been around horses very much, they might seem a little bit scary. Angel Cropley used to be scared of horses. He's 13 years old, but now he's preparing to spend a whole year riding across Australia on his faithful steed, Pippin.
That'd be fun. But is he going with anyone?
Yes, he's going with his mum, Sasha, his stepdad, Tom, their four horses, and a dog. They're going to be riding the Great National Trail. That's a track that runs from Cooktown in far north Queensland all the way down to Healesville in Victoria's Yarra Valley. It covers more than 5,000 kilometres.
Exhausting. Very, very exhausting.
Yeah, definitely. But they're looking forward to it. Angel has cerebral palsy. That's a disability that affects the brain and the body, especially movement. When Angel first sat on a horse, three people had to help him to sit and balance. But now, he says horse riding helps keep his spine straight, his hips flexible, and his eyes focused.
It would be really fun too, because the horse goes really fast and sometimes up and down on the mountains.
Angel's family is aiming to raise $500,000 for the Riding for the Disabled Association of Australia. That's a charity that helps young people with disabilities by teaching them how to care for, interact with, and ride horses.
I think it's important because then it helps people with disabilities to live their best life.
Totally. Happy travels, Angel and Pippin.
Story number two.
If you could pick an ancient extinct animal and bring it back to life, which creature would you choose?
I think we should bring Tasmanian tigers back to life.
Just don't bring the dinosaurs back to life, because I don't want life to be like Jurassic World.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds a little bit scary. What if I told you that scientists have brought a worm that was frozen for tens of thousands of years back to life?
Whoa!
This worm is called a nematode, and it was found buried deep in the frosty ground of Siberia, which is in Russia. The worm was in a state called cryptobiosis. That means its body shut down in response to the freezing cold conditions.
I wonder how they could do that.
About 5 years ago, scientists revived this worm by thawing it out and rehydrating it with water. It's actually not the first time that frozen creatures have been brought back to life. Other worms and plants and micro-creatures have also been revived after cryptobiosis. But this worm, it could be the oldest nematode in cryptobiosis ever discovered.
That worm is very, very old.
Recently, the researchers tested a sample from the worm using a process called radiocarbon dating, and they found out that it had been frozen for about 46,000 years. That is 16,000 years longer than the other frozen worms that have been studied by scientists.
46,000 years?
The scientists are hoping that their findings will help them understand better how all of these creatures evolve and how they can be protected from extreme weather conditions in the future.
If they could bring back a worm, then why can't they bring back the woolly mammoth and the Tasmanian tiger?
I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And now, the story you've all been waiting for.
Wow the week.
This story made me go wow because a car that can go underwater is awesome.
There's an orange Land Cruiser up in Darwin that people call Mud Crab. It got that nickname because it can drive underwater.
It is getting all the exhaust pipes and
Is it getting all the electricity in the car?
Yeah, you'd think so. Cars aren't supposed to go underwater, but there was a lot of preparation to get mud crabs seaworthy.
Maybe they attached a snorkel to the engine so that the engine could breathe.
I'd make it a submarine with wheels.
Good ideas. Car experts and engineers from all over Australia spent months working on Mud Crab to get her ready with a new waterproof electric engine and very heavy water-filled tyres. They also had to chain buoys to the car to lift it out of the mud and silt when it gets bogged, because Mud Crab was recently driven across Darwin Harbour underwater.
I would not want to drive a car underwater.
I would love to drive a car underwater because then I could see all the sea creatures and what it's like down there.
The journey on land would have only taken a few minutes, but it took Mud Crab 12 whole hours to travel the 7 kilometres underwater. Mud Crab's drivers had to wear big oxygen tanks to help them breathe.
Very, 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 very scary.
I think you're right. The team also had to be on the lookout for saltwater crocodiles and sharks as they drove through the murky water into the night. Despite the long time, the crew did set a new world record for the longest and deepest underwater drive at a depth of 30 metres. When Mud Crab reached its destination, hundreds of people were waiting and cheering. And that is the end of the show, my friends.
Thank you, Ruby.
Don't forget to do the news time quiz. It's in the show notes. I'll catch you next week.
See you next time, Ruby.
See you later. Or, as they say in Persian, Khodafez. News Time is an ABC Kids Listen podcast. For other awesome podcasts to play, music to move to, and stories and soundtracks for sleep, download the ABC Kids Listen app. It's free from your App Store.